We're going to be working in the book of 1 Timothy still. We'll be finishing up the first chapter today. Paul had written to Timothy, instructing him how to be a clear model for Christian leadership. Many of the issues that threatened the church back in Timothy's times are a threat to the church in today's times. I feel that the challenges Paul set before Timothy as a church leader were basically challenges for all of us. Because when we go out into the world and when we claim to be Christians, people will be looking and listening to us. In this fast-paced world, it feels like it's sometimes an upside-down world, and this world truly needs the church. Here's a list of qualities Paul had shared about the Christian life. He encouraged everyone to be prayerful, strive for holiness, reach for unity, guard your morals, be mature and disciplined, be honest, honorable, faithful, kind, and be an excellent role model. That may seem like a very, very long list, but when a person strives for just one and then another, they all start to fall into place as we follow the teachings of Jesus. It becomes an easy way of life, especially when we surround ourselves with other believers. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 12. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with that faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is sharing from his heart to all the people. He shows that the gospel was brought about for salvation. Paul knew that he himself was a sinner, and now he was being appointed to serve. He works for God. Paul became a servant of Christ. Perhaps some of you may recognize when you felt that feeling. I'm a believer. I work for God. I think it's a beautiful thing. People may have been thinking, goodness gracious, how does Paul do this? His background is really, really bad, and he really isn't qualified. His violence alone would have excluded him from becoming a servant of Christ. He actually went after Christian believers to have them killed. He wanted to do away with Christian believers. How, in fact, did he become a preacher? The grace of the Lord was absolutely poured out upon him. Paul received mercy. God gave to him that which he does not deserve. Paul recognizes that forgiveness, the forgiveness that he received on the road to Damascus, was true. Life-changing. Life-giving. He shares that the Lord had given him strength, and then the Lord appointed Paul to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Filled with faith and love, Paul preached Christ's word. The world's worst sinner was now preaching. Amen. Yeah. Jesus came to share the good news with sinners. And this good news of Jesus' redeeming love flowed from Paul's mouth to whomever would listen. Paul's change can be our change. Any and all sinners can know Jesus' grace. Any and all sinners may begin working for God when they choose to do so. We work for God. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Trust in his sacrifice for your salvation. Humbly surrender your will to God. Sometimes we need to do that every morning, and that's okay. Humbly surrender your will to God. May God's will be done. Seek God's will. Ask him to lead your thoughts, lead your actions by his grace. Be transformed by his love. We each have an opportunity for a new spiritual life. With changed hearts, we have been given a new purpose. Each of us can pray for the young couple getting married this afternoon, that their lives are transformed by the love of Jesus, that they see it, they feel it, they know it, that they begin to share Jesus with their children, that they sing "This Little Light of Mine" with their children. God's grace transforms us from the inside out, and it includes every aspect of your life. We are enabled to live by God's grace, filled with goodness, kindness, and love. Why would we only partly give our lives to Jesus? Why would we only turn to him in times of need when he's there every day for us? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we think no one will notice if I just tell a little lie. If I just share a little gossip, it'll be okay. Maybe if I take something small that's not mine, no one will notice. Maybe I'll just have a little drink. Maybe I'm going to just drive fast today, get home early. Maybe I only say a few curse words. I don't put somebody down all the time. It's okay that I put someone down sometimes. Accept the sanctifying grace that is offered to you. It empowers you to totally overcome your sin. Strength is provided to persevere through those difficult times. The believer is able to focus on the needs of others rather than one's own needs. When you are down and out, go help someone. Go pray with someone. Go be with someone who needs to be with a Christian brother or sister. You will be changed. The Lord's glorifying grace leads to eternal life with God. How glorious. How beautiful. Let's keep our hearts filled with gratitude, and let us give thanks for the forgiveness of sins. Don't you carry it around on your shoulder. Set it here at the foot of the cross. It gets heavy when you try to carry it. Give it to Christ. You will be forgiven. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with you prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. We know very little about those two characters, except that Paul did put them out of the church. They had been removed from the protection of the Lord. I believe that God knew that they would never choose to follow Jesus. And that is why they were put out of the church. Believers continue to be protected from all attacks from Satan. We have protection. God takes us as we are, and he makes us brand new. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Believers keep choosing God. Choose God and cling to your faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a very familiar, popular verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. There's another amen. Thank you, Lord. Solomon knew that God was worthy of praise and trust, and he advises all of us to consciously put our trust in the Lord. He is calling for a total and complete trust. If trust in God is to be true, it is to be complete. To put half of our trust in God and half of our trust in something else or something else or something else altogether is really failure. It is not trusting God at all. Do not stand with one foot on the rock and one foot on the sand. Get both feet on that rock of Jesus. Trust with all your heart. Theologian Bridges wrote, "This trust is not the mere cold assent of enlightened judgment. It is trust with all your heart. It is a childlike, unwavering confidence in our Father's well-proved wisdom, faithfulness, and love." That's a deep kind of love. A childlike, unwavering confidence. Recognizing God's wisdom, God's faithfulness, and God's love. Childlike and unwavering trust. Well, that would be my prayer for all of you. Dolly Parton once shared, "God has his plans and his reasons. And sometimes we're supposed to go through things so that we learn lessons. And sometimes it's rough. But when you know that God is in control, hang in there. With childlike trust, recognize the love of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord. We all are to develop a relationship with God and truly walk with him. That's done by spending time in his word. Put your Bible beside your bed or on your kitchen table where you can see it, where it's easy for you to pick it up. Pray and take every opportunity to grow closer to God. Develop a heart for God, a life that does not consciously defy or reject God. Even if you preface it with just this once, or this is my last time doing this sin, don't do it. Fight it. God is with you. Trust that he is with you. Know that he is with you. Believers have made the choice to invite him into our everyday lives. He's watching. He walks with you. He helps you. Honor and acknowledge him in all that you do. The Lord will direct your paths toward what is right before him and pleasing for your life. Okay, so here are some answers to this question. How can I know the will of God? How can I know the will of God? Put your trust in the Lord. Stop trusting your own understanding and give attention and priority to God's revealed word. Acknowledge and honor God in all that you do. It is then that we move forward, living through the leading of the Holy Spirit and living in peace. God will direct our paths. We are so blessed. With God's grace and blessing, we learn that we have been on the path that God has intended us to be on all along. Sometimes it's tough that we go through these things, and it really is a gift to be able to look back and go, oh, that happened because God was moving me to here. This is the lesson I learned when I was going through that. We're not in control. God is in control. God knows exactly when you can handle what he has in store for you. He wants to develop you into a Christ-likeness. Trust him. We've had a lot of things happening in our church this week and last week. May, with the move, Brian, John. Let's continue to lift up our family in prayer. Let's trust that God is in control. Let us become more Christ-like. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you always do what is best for us. Thank you for making us one family under you. Equip us for the good of the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, we call upon you and we ask that you bless each of us with your perfect peace. May your grace be with us all. In your precious name, amen. Would anyone like to add or share to our service this morning?